Morning. Carrying on our learning, carrying on our learning of Chofetz Chaim, a daily companion. Leschus Refuah Shleima of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla. So yesterday, we were in the middle of discussing the seventh mitzvah asay, listed by the Chofetz Chaim, as potentially being over when speaking Lashon Hora, seventh mitzvah being Umikdashi Tiro. This is in addition to the 17 lavin associated with Lashon Hora and Rechilas. So I brought the story yesterday of Rabbi Eli Mansour regarding Kriyas HaTorah, B'Shem Rabbi Shlomo Busu, and briefly the main point of the story, which should be Mechazikas, refraining from talking, are as follows. Kriyas HaTorah is a replica of Matan Torah, and we need to behave as if we are receiving the Torah. There is a segula for cholim being healed during Kriyas HaTorah, but this is on the basis that there's no talking at all, even being gavra legavra. Rabbi Busu says that one should not talk as this might prevent a chola being healed by someone talking. And he also mentioned there are cases of shuls which took upon themselves not to talk during Kriyas HaTorah, and nisim happened thereafter. Now we turn to Chofetz Chaim's example of being over on Umikdashi Tiro. He writes as follows. Since we are discussing the sin of speaking Lashon Hara in Shul, I must tell you of the great misfortune that this causes. So a person wants to tell his neighbor in Shul a story about something that happened to him, and he finds the most convenient moment for this, which is immediately before Kriyas HaTorah. But when the killer is ready to begin reading the Torah, the storyteller is still not finished. Now the Yetzer Hara whispers in the person's ear, "This is a great story, you've got to finish it." So the storyteller and the eager listener continue their conversation right through Kriyas HaTorah. In doing so, they are not only over on a long list of prohibitions, but they also commit the overriding avera of creating a public Chilul Hashem, as they willfully ignore Hashem's presence in his house, and at the same time cause disgrace to the Torah. Chofetz Chaim tallies what this important story is going to bring these two people on the heavenly scales of judgment. Number one, they've spoken and listened to Lashon Hara, which almost always includes many prohibitions. Number two, they have violated the Pasuk V'lo sechal l'Hashem kodshi, should not profane my holy name, an avera that is compounded by the fact that it was committed in the presence of a minion or more. Number three, they have disregarded the Torah, as it says, a pasuk in Yeshaya, Ozve Hashem Yichlu, those who forsake Hashem will perish. And fourthly, they have engaged in Dvorim Batalim in Shul. Rasta Chofetz Chaim, Oyelim Adabu Lishma, woe is to the speaker and the listener. He quotes the Vilna Gaon, who states that it is impossible to comprehend the heavenly punishment which such conversation can bring upon the participants. Is the speaker here?
No.
No. Yes. Okay, yes. In that case, yes. Carry on tomorrow, Mr. Shem. Started in the Torah Way in Northwest London, Tuesday, 4th of Adar Rishon, 13th of February, Rabbi Don Kaufman Schlitter, the wooden Oren and the red fire engine. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by family White Kruskal in honor of their granddaughters Chassan and Eretz Yisrael. He rotzo in Shivna Bais Nemon Yisrael Hashem v'lishilo l'schus ha'shavuim v'achayolim v'amilchamo sh'achru v'otayhem l'sholom v'mheiro.
Amen. Good morning, Rabbi Isai. This week's parasha is about the instruction. I must point it in the instruction. Later on, parashas Vayakel, it's the acting out, the actual doing of the Mishkan. But there's a structure, and then comes the furniture, and then the furniture. Now, immediately there's a question. In Parshas Pekudei, Rashi quotes a medrash that there was an argument between Moshe and Bezalel what to do first. You build the structure first, or you build the furniture. Because in the Chumash that we have here, in the instructions given in Parshas Terumo, it mentions all the furniture before it mentions the structure. And Bezalel argued that you should build the structure first, and later the furniture, because where will you put the furniture? That's another whole topic, that particular Mama Chazal. But there's a difference between Vayake, Trumo, and Vayake. Because in Trumo, the instruction, the furniture comes first. And in the carrying out of it, Bezalel said, you make the structure first, not the furniture. Now, the furniture comprised of five items. The first one mentioned in the Chumash is the Aron HaKodesh, and that was the star, the centerpiece. We would generally assume that the Aron containing the Luchos and a Sefer Torah, which Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, as dictated by Kodesh Baruch Hu, the original Sefer Torah, were placed in the Aron. And it was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim because that's the holiest place. In fact, it's the other way around. That's the all-important point. It was the holiest place, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because the Aron and the Torah and the Luchos were there, as I will explain as we go along. Now, the first item is the Aron HaKodesh, and yet, in the Rambam, he leaves out the Aron HaKodesh. The Rambam says, in Sefer Mitzvos and in the Yad HaChazaka, V'oisin b'mikdosh kelim, furniture for the Beis HaMikdosh, which is Mizbeach le'oilo, a kevesh she'oil b'oilo mizbeach, that's considered one of the items of furniture, kior, Mizbeach k'toires, menoro, and shulchan. No mention of the Aron HaKodesh. So let's start by quoting Ashtikel Briska Torahs. I don't know where this is written, if it's written at all, but in the corridors of the Beis HaMedrash, one hears this discussed in the name of the Briska Rav. And it's typically, characteristically Brisk. The Pasuk says, V'osu li mikdosh, v'shochanti v'seicham. V'osu is plural, you, plural, shall make. Now, you'll tell me, it says in Parshas Terumo, 22 times v'osiso, after this. And that's quite hard to remember, you have to learn them, they're all different, don't they? Right? That needs working on. So, the Briskas point to a Rambam, of course. That the Rambam, when it categorizes mitzvahs, talks about asei and mitzvahs lois asei. Another category is mitzvah tzibur. Mitzvahs are a duty of the community as a whole, not of any individual. Tefillin, I must put on tefillin. Whether or not someone else does or doesn't, my duty is to put on tefillin. If I don't, I'm liable. Whereas the communal mitzvahs are not any individual who is liable. That's number one. And number two, every person is obliged to contribute towards, to be involved in it. And one of these things is building the Beis HaMikdosh, or Mishkan. That's why it says V'osu in the plural. So that's what the Rambam mentions. Now comes the Briska Torah and says, hello, it says V'osu li Mikdosh, plural, you shall make a Mikdosh, that's communal duty. Carry on. And it says V'osu Aron Atzei Shittim. And again, plural. So the Aron is also a communal duty, meaning everybody must contribute to make this. But why? That's the question. So this is what the Briskas want to explain. The Rambam leaves out the Aron from the furniture because it's not a piece of furniture. The Aron is the Beis HaMikdosh. That's why the Aron was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the holiest place, because the Aron, which is the centerpiece of the Mishkan of the building, is is a communal duty. If you'd like to put it in very simple mundane terms, the Aron HaKodesh would not be covered by your building's insurance policy. So it comes under your building's insurance policy and not under your house contents policy. It's not a part of it, is. Therefore, the Rambam doesn't mention it as one of the instruments of the Beis HaMikdash. But why? Because what brings Kedusha to the Beis HaMikdash? It says in the Pasuk, V'osu l'mikdash, V'shochanti b'seichom. What does exactly does it mean, V'shochanti b'seichom? Practically speaking, what does this mean? So the Sepharno, and others as well, but Sepharno clearly says so, it's a meeting place. And it says so in the Pasuk a bit later on. Make an Oren, V'sisa kapoeres, V'nei'adati l'cho shom. I will meet with you there, where the Aron HaKodesh goes. Meeting means two ways. One is, V'ibati itecho me'al ha'kapoeles, me'bein shnei ha'kruvim. From the center point of the Aron, where the kruvim are, at that point, from there, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Mishkan to communicate, to meet with HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the voice speaks to him from that point, where the Aron is. Equally, says the Sipporno, and this is very important, very equally, the other way around. It's the meeting place for people who want to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the best place, the place of holiness, where the Shekhinah rests. You come face to face, so to say, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is the prime position to make your tefillahs. So it's got two meanings. It goes both ways here. What does it mean? Vanadati, both ways. Why is the question? The answer is because what pulls the Shekhinah? The Aron HaKodesh. Because Aron HaKodesh has got the Luchos and the Sefer Torah. Limud Torah is what makes the Shekhinah. I still haven't got a Gemara in front of me. But the Gemara in Brochus says that maybe I got it wrong. The Gemara of Brochus, yeah, if you don't mind. I didn't think we'd bring it out. Daf Tess. The Gemara says that Zayin, says the Gemara, Kimitzion teitzei soiro. Tzion is a place of Torah. The point is, we refer to the Beis HaMikdash sometimes as Yerushalayim, sometimes as Tzion. Difference is this: Yerushalayim means the place where the avodah, where the korbanos are carried out, and Tzion refers to the place where the Shekhinah rests. And the Gemara says it's called Tzion because that's where the Torah is. Eilecho HaKodesh Baruch Hu says Shiorim Metzionim B'Halocha. Where there's Limud Torah, that pulls in the Shekhinah. That is the place to daven. And the Gemara carries on. It says that Rav Ami and Rav Asi lived in Tveria, and they had 13 Bote Knesios there. And Bote Knesios, defined halachically, means places which are made for davening. People come to daven. When they finish davening, they close the door and go away. Nothing else happens there. It's not a place of learning. It's really dedicated to davening. And there are certain halachas which apply to that. You mustn't eat, you mustn't sleep there. And Rav Ami Rav Asi had 13 Bote Knesios in Tveria, and they didn't use any of them. They went to the pillars, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, where they learned. That's the place where they want to daven. So therefore, the place of the Beis HaMikdash it's the Shechina is where there is learning. That's the point. People often ask the question, why do you say Tzion and why do you say Yerushalayim? Various answers are given. But the answer is given in the Gemara itself. They don't go any further. Now, there is something very curious about the Aron HaKodesh. Because, as you know, the other four items of furniture had a certain service. The Mizbeach was used for Ketores and for Korbanos in general. The Menorah had a service of lighting. The Shulchan had a service of bringing Lechem upon him. The Aron didn't have any service. Nothing was done to it, with it. And more than that, in the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have Luchos. Because they didn't have the Luchos, they didn't trouble themselves to make an Aron. Because they didn't, but there's no point in having an Aron if there's no Luchos. It's Luchos which matter. And yet the service of the Beis HaMikdash carried on for over 400 years, meaning the Avodah, the Korbanos, but the Shechina wasn't there. Not in the same way, at least. The second Beis HaMikdash was already beginning stage one of the Golus that we know today. And the Gemara says that today, that where we don't have even the second Beis HaMikdash, so Tefillah is an equivalent. And that should be done, says the Gemara, where there is Luchos, where there's learning. One should combine these two together. Now, I think I'd like to tell you of a very important piece from the Chasam Sofer about the Aron HaKodesh. The Chasam Sofer starts by quoting Kadmonim, earlier commentary. He doesn't specify who he means, which point out that here in the Parsha, we've got an instruction to build the Shulchan, and after that comes the instruction to build the Menorah. What's the reason for that? So the Kadmonim say, because the Shulchan, through its service, by offering Lechem upon him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant us our Lechem and our sustenance. The Menorah, through the lighting service, invites HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant us success in learning Torah. That's what Kadmonians say. And because the general rule is, Emen Kemach in Torah. If there's no financial basis, you haven't got people who are going to work and arrange the finances to build your school and your yeshiva, then there won't be any Torah. That must come first. There must be a financial basis. Ein kemach, ein Torah. So the Chasam Sofer asks the question, oi, it's not true. In the Chumash we've got first the Oren, then the Shulchan, and then the Menorah. So the Oren comes first. Answers the Chasam Sofer that there's two levels of Oren, of learning. The in the ordinary way of things, Ein Kemach, Ein Torah, you must have a financial basis, and then Torah can thrive. The equivalent of that is known as Yisachar Zvurun arrangement. Here we have a young man who wants to sit in Kol, and he wants to be a professional, he wants to sit and learn all day, every day. But he's going to need some sustenance, Mem Kemach, Ein Torah. Yes. So comes along Zvulun and says, yes, we'll make a contract. I'll support, you learn. Says the Chasam Sofer, in a case like this, when the day of reckoning comes, Im Shemaim, they keep records, and the merits for learning Torah are split 50-50. They're equal. The one is as good as the other. There wouldn't be one without the other. They're equally important. Some are good at learning, some are good at supporting. They're equal. But there is another dargah of Torah as well. That's the Oren which comes before the Shulchan. It's a Gemara in Brochus as well, which says that Kol ha'olam nizoin b'shvil chanin b'ni. The whole world is upheld. All sustenance in the world, what everybody takes home in their wage packet, is supplied by Chanino. Because Chanino doesn't make any demands of anybody. He has a carob tree, eats a packet of carobs that keeps him going from Shabbos to Shabbos, the Gemara says. That's all. That makes no demands of anybody. And he sits and learns. The equivalent, says the Chasam Sofer, would be a man who says, Nafshi Choshko Batoir, I want to learn. My heart tells me, learn. Excuse me, sir, but where's the challahs of fish going to come from for Shabbos? And his answer to that is, I don't think about these things. I know one thing, single-minded, narrow-minded head. I'm learning. Don't ask me questions. I'm going to learn. Now, where's the food going to come from? The answer is some kind fellow realizes this man's got an efficient challahs for Shabbos. So he gets hold of some fish and challahs, takes it to his house, here you are. It says the Chassan Sofer, in a case like that, the reward for learning Torah belongs 100% to the man who sits and learns the Torah, because there's no contract to split it. The man who's supplied the fish and challahs, he gets something else. He gets a reward for doing which a chesed to a rare Talmud Chochem. So there's 100% Torah reward to the learner, and on top of it, another 100% or whatever it is to whoever has supported him without a contract. That is the Oroin before the Shulchan. Torah of that level, but only of that level, is Chanina Bani. That's how Chanina learned. And through the merit of the Torah, Chanina, the whole world is supplied by sustenance, and that's in Ein Torah Ein Kemach. Now, the two are a contradiction in the Mishnah. It says both. There's a level of Ein Torah Ein Kemach, which is a much higher level, and then an ordinary level of Ein Kemach Ein Torah. Right. Now, allow me to go to the details of this. I have a question here. Why does it say Vosiso Aroin Atzei Shittim? Why does it not say Vosiso Oroin Atzei Shittim? Pardon? I'm asking why Aroin Atzei Shittim? Why not Oroin Atzei Shittim? And the question is well founded. Because later on it says Vosiso Shulchan Atzei Shittim. Doesn't say Shulchan. And then you go to Parshas Vayakhel. This is not the instruction, this is the carrying out of it. Vayas Batalo es ho oroin atzei shittim. Doesn't say aron atzei shittim. Why is the instruction different to the carrying out? And why is it different to the shulchan? Now, I haven't seen this question asked by anybody. This is my question. So inevitably, you'll have to bear with me for my answer on this question. To start with, what is the difference between aron and oroin? Construct form. And what if it's construct? What does that mean, construct form? What does this mean? It means the words are bonded together. Aroin atzei, they go together. And what are you saying with that? I suggest the following. If I tell you, look across the road. Do you see the red car across the road? Now, the word red is not the object. It's a detail. We call it an adjective. And when I say red car, I say that to point to you. I mean the red one, because there's also a blue and a green car there, but I'm referring to the red car. That's an adjective. It's defining, giving a detail to exclude it from something else. What if I say to you that, did you see the red fire engine speeding along the road? What does the word red mean in this case? Am I saying red to exclude the green or the blue fire engine? No. Because there's no such thing. There's no blue and green fire engine anywhere. The whole world, fire engines are red. So why did I say red fire engine? Because red is such a close adjective, it is the item. That's it. So this is what we mean by, if I say a sisa shulchan, I say to him, make a table of wood. But if I say to you shulchan, I say to him, I want a wooden table. Specifically wood. There's no difference at the end of the day. It is going to be a table and it's going to be made out of wood. Practically, there's no difference. Where's the difference? In the language. In the instruction I'm telling you, that must be wood. It's crucial for me, as much as the red fire engine. It's part of it. It can't be otherwise. A table could be otherwise, perhaps. But no, this can't be otherwise. Well, why not? Pardon?
By someone in the miyakel, okay? Because in the instruction there's a message which doesn't apply to the... In the event, he made an oroin of atzishitim. That's the event. But the instruction is something else. Before answering that question, we must ask another question. Because there's a stira, a contradiction within the posik itself. Vosiso aroin, vosu, I mean, aroin atzei shittim. Aroin is connected with atzei shittim. But it isn't. Because you got four words. Vosu aroin atzei shittim. Now, you could write this in two ways. Or you could say, vosu aroin atzei shittim. That would make sense. Aroin is connected with atzei shittim, the naginas. Tipcha, munach esnachto. Atzei shittim. But it isn't. The Torah doesn't say that. Here in the Chumash it says, Mecha tipcho vasu aroin atzei shittim. Su aroin is disjointed from atzei shittim. And yet aroin is jointed. So why is it disjointed by the neginas? The answer is, because if you would have the other, the three words, vasu aroin atzei shittim, then atzei shittim is hyphenated. As one word, and the negina sits on the word shittim. So the translation is, make a table of shittim wood. I'm specifying shittim wood. I say shittim wood. But the Torah has done otherwise. Torah says, vasu aroin, atsei shittim. So the word atsei has been promoted, highlighted, by being independent of shittim, and becoming a word of its own with its own negina. Therefore, the translation is different. The translation is make an ark of shittim wood. Not of shittim wood. I'm stressing the wood. The Torah shows to highlight the word atzei. So we've got to the point now that the Beis HaMikdash is what the Oron is. It's as good as what the Oron is. And Oron must be wood. Shittim wood, but must be wood. Why? Why wood? Now I'm going to quote to you from Rabbi Google. I looked it up yesterday. In the animal world, we've got creatures big and small. Small ants and big elephants and cows, such as large animals. Small animals, small creatures, have relatively short lives. An ant has a life of about 2 weeks, I understand. Yes. And within an hour of being created, being born, the ant is fully developed. It's as good and as strong and can do whatever any ant can do, who is a week old. The larger you go, lives longer and takes a little bit longer to develop, but still not very long. A cow, this is what Rabbi Google told me, on its second day can get up and walk. But human beings are much more sophisticated and they take much longer. Physically, a man reaches his prime development physically in 15, 20 years, something like that. Shall we say, the shoes he wears at age 15, he could wear for life. And the jacket he wears at age 20, he could wear for life, were it not for middle-aged spread. Not so a tree. If you slice through the trunk of a tree, you can read the age of the tree by counting the rings. Every year it adds on a ring, and that's every year. That is the message of Osu Aronatsei Shittim. That in Torah learning, it's not even enough that one learns Torah every day of one's life, but one must add on a ring every day, every year of one's life. Every day, every year, a person must become better, more learned, wider, deeper in his Torah learning. And that's the message of Osu Aroin Atsei Shittim. Aroin is connected with Atsei Shittim. Yet the Torah disconnected it to pull out the word atzei, highlighting atzei, to make this point that in In Torah, one must aspire to grow every single year in learning.
Shittim is to explain which kind of...
The tree, yes. And the stress is not on the shittim, it's on the atzei.
Which wood?
Shittim. Yes, and that's... That, of course it goes together. But you could have said atzei shittim together, and then it means shittim wood. But if you say atzei shittim, the wood of shittim. It's highlighting atzei to make this point. And with shulchan, that's not the case. It doesn't say this. It doesn't say shulchan, it says shulchan. But, now I'm going to add to the Brisker Torahs that... Not only does it say Vosu Mikdosh, Voshokanti Vosega, Voshokanti means learning and the Aroin, that is the Beis Mikdosh. And Vosu Aroin, it goes on to say Vosiso, it's in the singular, Vadea Te Shitim, that the Badim are the support of the Torah. Maybe there's a hint there, that even when it comes to supporting Torah, one should also look to increase year upon year, what one offers. Okay, a minute left, a question. When it comes to menorah, it says, Vosiso menoras zohov tohoira, not menorah. Again, the construct form. But here there's a different explanation. Here the explanation is that in Vayakel it says, Vosis vayas es ha-menorah, and here it says, menoras. Because the Gemara says that there's two options for the menorah. Either if you make it in gold, then it has to be a full kikar and it has to be banged out from one kikar. But if you choose to make it from other materials, you're allowed to. But then it doesn't have all those rules and regulations. So therefore, in the instruction, it says vosis menoras. Ideally, make a menorah from a block of gold. Menoras zohov tohor, and then keep all the rules written there of how you build it. Extract it from the piece of gold. Vayas, in the event, he made the menorah. So that's not important. It's only in the instruction is different. Okay, I'll leave you there.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Kaddish? You should use it. Rabbi Kalan, kash over.
Omei. Omei. Omei.